Welcome to the Central Assembly Podcast. It's our prayer that this message is an encouragement and blessing to your life.
Good evening. God is so good. Amen. It's a privilege to have a God who is so powerful. See, I grew up in a place where there were so many other gods, but God distinguishes himself as the only God. And I'm so thankful that he reached out to me and saved my life. I'm originally from Kenya, and I got saved in Kenya. God revealed himself to me many times in a dream, gave my heart to the Lord. And it's such a privilege to be able to serve Jesus today. My wife, Christina, is here. We've been married for 15 years, and she's an amazing woman of God, loves Jesus passionately. And we have four kids that we're raising, and she does a lot of that because it's some of the work I do that causes me to travel, but she's amazing. And our four kids are between the ages of 10 and 5, so it was four kids in 5 years. My wife is amazing, and I'm thankful for her. But we're blessed. We're uber blessed. And so just thank you for allowing us to be here tonight. I'm excited. Pastor Dawn sent me an email and asked me if I would be sharing tonight because there's so many things going on in the church. And so when Pastor Dawn asks, I say yes. I say yes, Buana. Buana means, you know, sir, mister, or it could mean Lord too, but I don't think that's what I was saying, in Swahili, in my language. So I'm thrilled to be here with you. I come to you as part of the body of Christ. So I feel really comfortable here. And I feel that Jesus has something specific that he has been sharing with me and that I want to share with you tonight. And so in a sense, I feel like I'm inviting you into conversations that are ongoing between Jesus and I. And because we're the body of Christ, we're a family, that's what's going to happen. Allow me to pray. Lord Jesus, we thank you. We thank you for your love for us. We thank you for your grace. I thank you that everybody here is not here to be entertained, but to meet with you. And that is our purpose, God. We need you every day, every moment. And we thank you that you have saved all of us and brought us into your kingdom, the kingdom of the Son whom you love. Thank you that while we were alienated in our minds away from you, you brought us close to you. Thank you that your blood washed away our sins. Thank you that you have seated us in the heaven, in the high places, God, with your Son. Thank you that we are children of God. Thank you, God, for the glorious inheritance that we have in you. Thank you, God, for the power that which is the same power that you exerted in Christ that is in us, Lord. Thank you for the privilege, the honor of being called your children. So we give you praise, and we ask that your name, your glorious name, would be exalted in our midst. And that to the fullest extent of your desire, you would have your way. We are yours, and we're here to meet with you. In Jesus' name, amen. I have been really blessed by Pastor Bradford, even as you've been sharing, Pastor, just how amazing it's been just to hear the sermons. And so just thinking about today and some of the, when he's talking about the paradoxes, and one of the things that always gets me is that we're being part of the Lord's mission, that we are part of the Lord's mission. I thank God that I was a part of the Lord's mission, and now I get to be a part of the Lord's mission. Amen? I find it that in the scriptures, God has always had an agenda. Thank goodness I was part of that agenda. You were too. Agenda doesn't end because we became followers of Christ. It continues through us. Amen? And that's a powerful, powerful thing. But to think about life with God would not make sense without an eternal perspective was really, really powerful this morning to understand that. That we always need to have a handle on where this is going to be, having an eternal perspective. And so just there are some things that he shared today that really sparked so much in this that were part of the conversation of what is going on. Many of you probably had this happen. I woke up in the morning and I couldn't sleep. It was about 3:45. And it seems like God seems to wake me up at that time. It's not the best time considering I'm trying to get up at 5:30. So you keep asking the Lord, couldn't you just move it a little closer to 5? You know, but one of the things that he was talking to me about was the sacrifices, about sacrifices and me counting the cost and saying that God, sometimes the cost is just too steep. And so today when Pastor was talking about that, it was so good that God is speaking to me in my living room, and then I come to church and Pastor is speaking to us. And so we're so blessed to have a pastor who hears from the Lord. And we're so blessed that Jesus is doing some powerful things in our lives. The way I look at my life is that my life is a part of the Jesus story. I didn't give Jesus one slice of my life. I didn't give him the biggest slice of my life. I gave him my whole life. Biblically, that's what happened. The Bible tells us that the life I live, I no longer live for myself. That the old is gone, the new has come. So I fully, wholly belong to him. And as some friends have reminded me, that I die to myself. And that's in line with what Pastor is talking about. And that the truth is that my whole life belongs to him. And it is as though Jesus gives me one chapter. And then the way I look at it is that he writes that chapter. And it's a glorious chapter. It is way better than anything I could have ever written myself. I was running my life and ruining it. Thank God that he invites me into his story. And so the story of our lives is that we give Jesus our whole lives. We are invited into the story of Jesus. Amen? It is great to be invited into the story of Jesus, and for him to write that chapter. As I'm processing all of these things, I'm sitting down, spending time with the Lord, and he brings me to the book of Joshua, which is one of my favorite books in the Bible. If you'd open the book of Joshua, if you have your Bible, I'm sorry I don't have any PowerPoint for you, but I will read from the Word of God. But if you look at my Bible in the book of Joshua, you can't see, but I've written all over this thing. And our first son's name is Joshua. I had a dream that my son's name was to be called Joshua before he was born. My wife had another dream and confirmed it, and he's you. I don't think the book of Joshua is only for those who are trying to climb a mountain and prove that God is great, or those who are young. I think it's for all of us, no matter what stage in life we are in, because it's the Word of God. But I'm reading the book of Joshua, and I'm always struck by God's conversation with Joshua. Moses is dead. Be strong and courageous. Lead your people into Israel and into the promised land. And how God continues to encourage him and to be with him. And basically that he's supposed to lead God's people to conquer and inherit the promised land. And the promised land for them was the land where there was a lot of the Canaanites were. There were other people that God had spoken to Abraham, that his descendants will be in the promised land, but they will be in Egypt for a long time. You know the story. And then they finally get out of Egypt, they cross the Red Sea, and now they're camping, and Joshua is told to get the people ready, and they're supposed to cross the Jordan. And so God has a conversation with Joshua. And Joshua tells the people exactly what God had said. Follow the presence of God, the Ark of the Covenant, because where you're going, you've never been before. Those words encourage me so much. There's so much in life that I've never been there before, but I'm still supposed to follow the presence of God. Isn't it good that God goes before us, that he goes with us? That's such an encouragement. So Joshua is supposed to lead them, and then he does. And as they're going, allow me to continue to tell you the story. I'm going to give you some homework. Go read the book of Joshua. It's a great read. As they continue moving on, he tells them, consecrate yourselves, for tomorrow the Lord will do amazing things. Take up the Ark of the Covenant and pass on ahead of the people. So they took it up and went ahead of them. And God continued to speak to Joshua about how we'll exalt him. Joshua told the Israelites, come hear the word of the Lord. Come hear the word of the Lord. I just love the way that sounds. It is important. We need the word of the Lord in this time and age. Amen? And so he tells them what's going to happen. Again, they follow the Ark of the Covenant. Verses 14 of chapter 3. So when the people broke camp to cross the Jordan, the priest carrying the Ark of the Covenant went ahead of them. It's supposed to be about 2,000 cubic feet in front of them. Now the Jordan is at flood stage all during harvest. Yet as soon as the priests who carried the ark reached the Jordan and their feet touched the water's edge, the water from upstream stopped flowing. It piled up in a heap a great distance away at a town called Adam in the vicinity of Zarethan, while the water flowing down to the Sea of Arabah, the Salt Sea, was completely cut off. So the people crossed over opposite Jericho. The priests who carried the Ark of the Covenant of the Lord stood on firm ground in the middle of the Jordan while all Israel passed by until the whole nation had completed crossing on dry ground. That's an amazing story. And I don't know if I haven't been to Israel. And I was trying to do a lot of research, and I did. The Lord told me not to try and be cute with this, is tell them what I want you to tell them. And so I'm trying to be very direct, which is really tough for an African. So here we go. This is my practice in being direct. So the Lord told them that the Ark of the Covenant should go first. I know the waters were cut off from a very far place. I don't know what distance that is. But the truth is that they crossed the Jordan at flood stage. And it says in Joshua 4, verses 10, now the priests who carried the ark remained standing in the middle of the Jordan until everything the Lord had commanded Joshua was done by the people, just as Moses had directed Joshua. The Ark of the Covenant represented the presence of God simply. And we know there was, you know, like a bowl of manna. There was the rod of Aaron. There was the covenant, the Ten Commandments that were in them. And we know that it was made out of acacia. It was covered with gold. And the priests alone could carry it. And so they did. And they stepped into the Jordan at flood stage. And the waters were cut off. And what God was working on me was Joshua 4:10. And the thing that he was telling me is that, Savo, do you notice that the priest stayed in the water until everything I had commanded Joshua to do was done? And I said, okay, so what is that? Where are you going with this, Lord? My conversations with the Lord are really interesting. And I started to try and figure out, God, what are you trying to say? I think of floods, the floods that I've seen, floods just wash away so much. Floods have so much force, floods do so much damage. Floods take no consideration of how much it costs for you to plant those plants or for anything that it's destroying. A flood is being carried by momentum. And so things are being washed away, things that you value, and you need to stay away from the flood because you'll also be washed away. And the sense that I get is that today, and in today's age, I think of what we do in Chi Alpha, that many times we look at our campuses and we think our campuses are the cesspool of secular humanism and all things immoral. And it's probably true. And so our young kids are being swept in this flood of secular humanism. There's no absolute truth. And it's just sweeping them away. Some very well-intentioned people are being swept away by the flood of what's going on today. There's a flood today. I think it's really interesting. I asked the Lord, why? Why did you ask them to cross when it was at flood stage? Couldn't you have asked them to cross at a different time? It would have been nice, more convenient, maybe. But somehow I think God waited till it was at flood stage and said, now I want you to cross the Jordan River. And so they crossed it. It's during harvest time. And you know that it's not easy to cross. I have experienced it's not easy to cross a river at flood stage. You always find a way around. Where am I going with all of this? I think today that's what we're facing today. When Pastor talked about the present age, and he talked about the age to come. I think because of the age to come, Jesus is looking for us to be his priests because we are. 1 Peter tells us too that we are God's holy people, a royal priesthood, a peculiar people who are chosen by God to show forth, to declare the praises of him who has called us out of darkness into his marvelous light. We are all the priests of God. And no, we have, it goes on before that and tells us that we are like living stones being built together. We are the temple of God. We are the bearers of the presence of God today. And I think what needs to happen, what is interesting, is for us to be able to cross into the promise of what God has for us. And for me, the promise of what God has for us is always connected to God's plan from beginning to the end. Every tribe, every tongue, I'm a missionary. Every tribe and tongue and nation worshiping before the throne of God. Amen. That is the theme of scripture from the beginning, from Genesis 1, 26, 27. The image of God, he made us, and he made us that we may all worship him and honor him, to Abraham. And it goes on and on and on and on to the end in Revelation. So, with us focused on the end, on the age to come, being here in the present day and age, I think that it is not enough for us. I think that what God is challenging us to do is to be those who stand on the bank of a very flooded environment with stuff that is not of God, in a lost world where people are being swept away by every lie from the pit of hell, and who are being deceived by Satan, and who even those who grew up knowing Jesus are being carried away by this. The most well-intentioned people are not being able to stand because of the flood that's there. But God is calling for us to be his priests and to carry his presence. And as we step into the flood, then the waters are cut off. And my friends, that's not the end, because the children of Israel are crossing the Jordan to go fight. There are people today who will have no fighting chance unless there are some of us or all of us who bear in the presence of Jesus, stand in the gap and pray. And as Joshua 4:10 says, and we stay there until everything God has commanded for us to do is done. Otherwise, the world has no chance. Does that make sense? That, my friends, is how I believe God looks at us. That is what I think God is looking to raise up. What we're experiencing in our church today is something that God is doing as part of a bigger thing that he's doing around the world and here in the United States. As a Kenyan, I'll say this so from the heart, knowing it's true. God loves this country. And the bearers of the presence of God need to stand in the gap. And we need to persevere in prayer. And we need to stay in the flood, in the flood waters until they're cut off. And we need to stay until Jesus has done what he wants to do. So that this church, people that do not know Jesus, those who would never come to this church, generations younger than us, will be able to have a fighting chance. That is how it works. You know, the truth is, I think I could just end there and say, that's what I think Jesus told me to say, and so it's over. But I know as we pray, there are times when I've prayed and I felt God wake me up and told me to pray. There's so much at stake, there's so much at stake. There's always somebody on the other side of our obedience. And the corollary to that is that there's always somebody who's on the other side of our disobedience. We're the people of God who carry his presence. I was a missionary, I'm still a missionary, I was at Missouri State University, and I've shared this story with some of you before. I remember we were in a situation, my first introduction, Christina and I, introduction into ministry, full-time ministry, was to step in when some bad decisions had been made by a former director and to step into debt. And we were young and eager and naive, and we stepped into ministry and we were overwhelmed by debt. And this church was so supportive of us, and we're no longer in debt at Missouri State University Chi Alpha. Thank goodness. And they're doing a phenomenal job. There's so much that's happening, students getting saved and baptized and discipled and others discipling others. I never failed to go to one of our coffee shops in town, and I could always tell when there are two MSU students sitting together, they're having a one-on-one discipleship. It's so powerful to see that happen. But I remember our introduction into ministry was that Christina and I were stepping in, and we were overwhelmed. We were overwhelmed. But I knew God is God and he is powerful, and so I continued to pray every day for that building. I just believe God did things like that. And so we kept praying. I was that guy who was so annoying in staff meetings. If they'd forget to pray about it, I'd bring it up, say, hey, we need to pray. We need to pray for the building because God can do that. And so they would say, let's pray. And they'd pray, and I'd continue to bring it up every staff meeting, which was almost every day, Monday through Friday. Savo would raise his hand and say, let's pray for that building. And I believe it. So what ended up happening is we sold the building. We kind of lost. We had to. And it was at a very strategic place on campus. And I remember the first day after that meeting, we moved into a rental facility. And one of our staff members asked me, hey, you used to pray for that building every day. And then I said, yes. And she said, well, it got sold, and we didn't get the building. You believed God would do it. You told us every day. So how do you feel now? I said, oh, this is too soon. Why are you asking me now? Couldn't you wait till maybe a month after? Let me handle and deal with this. But in being naive, she really earnestly was wanting to find out, how are you dealing with this disappointment? And I told her, well, I trusted in the Lord. I prayed. I believed. We lost the building, but I was not without faith. I think I can live with that. And to be honest, I kind of put that on as a badge of, I had faith. I didn't lose my faith. And that was good. And I had been at Missouri State for 19 years as a student and staff, in case you're wondering. And one of the most important things I did on that campus was to prayer walk our campus. I've been on almost every one of the walkways on our campus at Missouri State and prayed in tongues for that campus. I just knew that there's no way. The way we move forward is through prayer. So I kept praying. I was transitioning to National Kaiapa, which is where I am now. And as I was transitioning, the last thing I did was to do a prayer walk. I found it fitting to pray, so I prayed. And I was walking on the campus. I remember the Lord telling me, stop at one place, and it is across the building that we were now leasing. And I remember just sitting down, and the Lord asked me a question I'll never forget. He said, son, what do you see? I am a dreamer. And most of us dreamers, we dream big dreams. But the Lord spoke to a dreamer. God is a dreamer himself. He can actually actualize his dreams. And he spoke to me. He says, hey, son, what do you see? And I said, hey, it's a building. And then he asked again, son, what do you see? And I said, God, I see a building. And I started to get clued into what he was doing. And he asked again, what do you see? I said, God, I don't want to go there. What I hadn't realized is that over the years, I'd come to say, the reason I believed is because I was naive. The reason I believed is because I actually thought God could do such things. And I'd come to give myself excuses and reasons for why it didn't work out. How many of you have ever done that? Or am I talking to people who've never experienced prayer and the struggles of prayer? We're talking about persevering prayer. And so God says again, son, what do you see? And I said, God, there's too much pain. I don't want to go there anymore. I don't think you're in that business anymore. And so I had lowered God to not being able to do things like that. God is not interested in buildings, which is not true. And you know what the Lord told me? He said, son, I still do those things. Even though I didn't do it when you were here at Missouri State, I still do those things. So what do you see? And God reconnected something for me. I needed to start dreaming and believing in God. Whether he does it in my watch or not, he still does those things. There are many things you might have trusted in the Lord for and he didn't do. But our experiences do not determine the sum total of who God is. Never has. God is so much greater than our experiences. And so when we reduce him to the limit of our experiences, then that is not truly a good picture of who the Lord your God is. And so I had to reconnect, and I remember just sitting there weeping and crying out to the Lord about all the great things he can do at Missouri State, because he still does those things. See, our faith is not in us who can do the things that God tells us. Our faith is in the one who has the capacity to do the things he has promised. He fulfills them. That is what Abraham did. That is what everybody in the Hall of Faith did. And so tonight, as those who are the bearers of the presence of God. There are people who are going to need to cross this flood. And they're going to need us, my friends. They're going to need us reconnected to a God who still does those things and we will stand our ground firmly in flood stage so that people can cross, that they would have a fighting chance to be able to take the promised land. I hope I'm not talking in circles, but tonight I know there are some of you, like I remember me, with my campus pastor Joe, who told me, Savoy, I like that you pray prayers of faith and God, you pray like God really exists. And then on Monday, this was like on Friday and Monday, he passes away. And one thing after another, and suddenly cancer becomes something difficult to pray for. And every time that you have to step up and pray, we're talking about persevering prayer, you feel like you're standing in front of a mirror and you're looking at yourself and you're looking at the scenario that you have prayed and trusted in God and he didn't really come through. I know there's many of us here that has happened to. But I feel like tonight Jesus wants to reconnect that like he did for me. And he would say to you, my daughter, my son, I still do those things. Would you have faith in me? Would you be able to bear my presence into the flood of what is going on today so that others would have a fighting chance? And would you stay your ground the whole time? Because I still do those things. The promised land is something I want them to experience. It's important for us to not stand on one side of the bank and say it's too difficult. We already have God. We have what we want. There are many others that need to get into the promised land.